I mean, it's a huge win, but we have to use it the right way. Usually in a young team, a success early, it's using it in the wrong way, where we relax and we think we did what we had to do, and it's not enough. It's playing game by game, and the same thing if that shot from Hardaway would have gone in, we would have lost the game, and we just have to play our best every game and grow from there. We can't relax from having success, and we want more. It doesn't stop here.
Ricky Rubio, point guard of the Phoenix Suns, on with Burns and Gambo yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Not relaxing, playing the right way. I think those are two things that have been pretty evident, even in the exhibition games. I mean, the Suns have played a total of five games in Orlando, Bick. And they had a stretch the other night against Dallas where they did not play well.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a stretch in the exhibition against Boston where they did not play well. But overall, I think they've been pretty consistently competitive.
Yeah.
On both sides of the floor. And you know what? That's progress in itself for a team that really had struggled to keep guys on the court, to keep any kind of continuity together. And their quality of play suffered at times for long stretches because of it. But they've been... they've been one of the more consistently competitive teams since this thing got together.
Yeah, listen, I think that I think there's a couple things happening here that are really good. The emergence of Cam Johnson, a draft pick that not everybody dug when the Phoenix Suns selected him and moved down to 11th overall, and they passed up on a chance to get a couple of good players. I piqued your interest with something, Carlin.
Do you remember in real time?
I do.
During the draft, the live draft.
I do.
Oh, I remember like it was yesterday.
The Suns are on the clock. I don't even know if they were on the clock. They might have been one pick behind or something. And, you know, you guys are talking, and the round table, all of a sudden Gambo
Cam
comes
up. Johnson!
Right.
And I could hear
never
it, right?
Forget it.
Burnsy goes, Cam...
Who?
Johnson?
Right.
And he goes, Cam Johnson. And then there's like silence, and then Burnsy goes... Can we get some context of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Because that's who the Suns are doing. And then everyone's like scrambling to figure out who
uh-huh.
this guy is.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And again, James Jones has had a very interesting 10-year as GM, in my opinion. There have been moments of brilliance. There have been moments of luck. There have been moments of lunacy. There have been a lot of stuff here. This one was not well received in real time, and yet he's shaping up. If last game wasn't a fluke, he's shaping up as a guy that looks like he can be a competitive piece to a high functioning basketball team, and it's happening, and you can see it. You can see the confidence. He came into this thing in great shape. He added some pounds of muscle to his frame, which is the sign of a guy who's hungry, who wants something. And he's played very confidently, and that's a really cool thing. Mikal Bridges now, he's kind of tapered off in the last couple games.
Offensively,
but again, I think Mikal Bridges, what he brings to you is it transcends that. The Suns, if this is a nucleus of something that's going to become great, they're not going to need Mikal Bridges to be a 20-point-per-game scorer. You just need guys slotted in the right roles. Now, like I said earlier, Mikal Bridges, I think he'll have a bounce-back game offensively today. DeAndre Ayton has to have something really good today. But it's all kind of coalescing in the right direction, and there's people talking nice about this basketball team, which they haven't had in a while. You really hope they're vibing on the feel of this, because think about this. As a team that was allowed into this bubble, you remember one of these stories early on is that there were some NBA franchises that were bummed out. They didn't want to be part of this. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a lot of confusion and ambiguity locally about where were the Phoenix Suns on this spectrum. You would hope that showing up now with a group of teams that are the cool kids in high school, right? All the burnouts and the losers, they're back at home right now. And you got the cool kids in high school, and now you're part of this group here. And you've got a chance to kind of say, we belong here, or we're on the rise here. I'm just kind of stunned at how many people are now suddenly forecasting the Suns as a playoff team for next year, based on what they've seen out of, two exhibition games, two real games. And
yeah, I mean...
One of which, by the way... was against the Wizards.
I know. I know. And they struggled at times in that game against the Wizards. Again, you look at this Dallas game. If that thing would have turned the other way, our tone, we'd be, or at least I know I would be, killing DeAndre Ayton. Because I would look and correlate that terrible performance against the Mavericks with the reason why they lost that game. But they didn't, and that's the beauty of it, which leads me to believe that maybe something really positive is happening here. Fluke, happenstance, a one-off kind of game against Dallas, whatever it is, it's kind of opened the door to this opportunity that they have today against the Clippers.
By the way, the Suns have beaten the Wizards worse than any other team in the bubble so far, at least in the games that count. Suns beat them by 13, Brooklyn by 8, Indiana by 11.
They did lose all their games, though.
Yes, they did. They're a team that probably doesn't really want to be there.
Yeah, and that's to Dan's point. Thank goodness, because the Suns were one of the very last teams invited, mm-hmm. that they're not just going through the motions.
Yeah, or acting overwhelmed by it. They're treating this the right way, and it's a sign of good leadership. It's a sign of good coaching. And I think a lot of it is, I think Devin Booker's not playing around, man. And it's there are times when what I really like about Devin Booker is when he comes back and his game and he's worked on something or he's decided to go somewhere with his game. You don't hear a lot about it beforehand. He just goes and does it. And like I said, now he's playing with an aggression now. He's always been an aggressive player, but he's playing with an aggression now I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Where he gets the ball at the top of the key, he just puts his head down and rides his defender to the basket. And right at the rim, he creates separation with his shoulders and his strength, and he gets fouled or he makes the basket. He is relentless now in attacking the rim, and I love to see that. He's one of the better mid-range shooters in the NBA. He is not settling for any of that. Those are generally your really hungry players.
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes sense, too, because as good a shooter as Devin Booker is from deep, the percentages aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can be that devastating from 15 feet in, why not do it? They say 3 points is more than two, but 2 points is more than zero.
And I'm hyper focused on Devin Booker because you look at Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, and if you've got the right quarterback in the NFL, you know you've got a bright future for the next 10 years. If Devin Booker makes this leap to top five guy in the NBA at some point in time, it's going to make everything a lot easier around us, around the basketball team. It's going to be phenomenal. And this has kind of been a reminder to me that nothing is too big for Devin Booker, and that he's on his own mission. Yeah, there have been times when I've wondered how much of a winning player he's going to be. There have been times when I wonder, you know, how much of his goals and his motivation extend beyond his personal ambitions. But there's no doubt that he continues to treat his rise in the NBA very seriously. He doesn't waste a lot of time, and he keeps coming back every year after every break with something different. The great ones do that.
Yeah, Devin Booker spoke to the media yesterday as well. He was asked the question, with you guys playing as well as you're playing, how aware are you of the fans' reaction to all of this?
Man, I'm not that aware of it, but I know inside this locker room, we're excited about this win. This is what I spoke on. In my last answer, just the ability to grind it out, you know, with the odds stacked against us, being down 13 to 15 at some point and still fighting through, you know, fighting through a whistle, just fighting the whole game and just finding a way to come out with the win. So, you know, it's a big win for us, big momentum swing for us going into, you know, the Clipper game tomorrow.
Head coach Monty Williams has a message for the fans at this point.
I hope our fans are excited about, you know, the level of intensity that we're playing with, the grit, toughness, different guys stepping up. That third quarter last night around the 7 minute mark when JC and Cam and Dario and Frank and those guys off the bench just gave us life. You know, I'm hopeful that our fans can see how hard we're playing and how bad we want it.
I've definitely seen it. From just an intensity standpoint, it definitely looks like that's been ratcheted up quite a bit since they're in Orlando. Now today, the Clippers will provide the opposition. The Clippers are 1-1 so far in the bubble. They lost a 2-point game to the Lakers, who clinched last night. Clint's number one overall in the West. The Clippers still have a lot to play for. They blew out New Orleans in their second game by 23.
Mm-hmm.
Because Denver is right on their heels. And Denver's been very affected by players not being available. Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. They've had to play some weird lineups in the exhibition. And, you know, they don't have a lot of guards to work with there. But Denver's still playing hard. So the Clippers still have a lot to play for to hold on to that number two seed the rest of the way. Here's Monty Williams, his scouting report on the Clippers.
They look like they're starting to figure it out. Look at their last game. They beat a really good Pelicans team. They're tailor-made for the playoffs. There's nothing that team doesn't have. They're deep. They have shooting. They have one-on-one players. They're physical. They have experience, and their coach is a championship-tested coach. So we respect them, and we know that we have to bring it.
Yeah, now you add Lou Williams back into the mix, coming off the bench. Who is, you know, you can chalk him up for 20 points off the bench. It's a tough team. I still, you know, credit to the Lakers for wrapping up number one. I still think the Clippers are the team to beat when they're together. And they weren't together a lot. I made a joke when you were away and the exhibition play started. The first time we saw the Clippers, it was weird to actually see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the floor at the same time, because it didn't happen very often before the shutdown.
No.
But they're both playing well. I think they're the team to beat in the West. So this could be a real statement for the Suns.
I vacillated on that. The first matchup against the Lakers, if you were a Laker fan, you'd be a little alarmed that the Clippers could be that shorthanded and nearly win that game, take that thing down to the very end. But at the same time, it's the LeBron factor is still there, and he's going to be very rested this time. Either way, the Suns are getting a team right now that is at the very top of the Western Conference. Great litmus test for them. Cannot wait for this thing to get started.
Yeah, Bobby Marks, front office insider for the NBA on ESPN. He joined Doug and Wolf this morning. He's a frequent guest of the radio station, but he's one of the guys around the league that's taken notice of what the Suns are doing.
The odds on Phoenix getting into that play-in game, yeah, let's face it, it's a long shot here, especially with the teams in front of them, but you can't replicate as far as the game action that they're going through. And it's you know, it's not like the all 30 teams are. Like, you're playing somebody good every night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, certainly today against the Clippers will be a good test, but you have to like what you see, and I think it gives you a springboard for next year. And I think the big thing, guys, too, is it helps Devin out from the psyche standpoint.
Yes.
That, hey, a couple tweaks here, a couple tweaks there, maybe we add a lottery pick, you know, and we can compete with these teams to try to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying there was any validity to the report, but it was only a matter of weeks ago, Bic, that there was stories coming out of New York that, you know, with Leon Rose taking over control of the New York Knicks front office, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, Devin Booker being a former client of his, he'd want to orchestrate his way to New York. And those of us in Phoenix that, you know, have knowledge of you know, Devin Booker and what his, you know, his outlook has been, he's been very positive. He's done all the right things. He said all the right things. For him to want to go to New York, another dysfunctional franchise, makes no sense at all. But that was just a matter of weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It was also in the great void of no sports, and we would know what this felt like, and we still don't know. We don't know what the Phoenix Suns are going to feel like at the end of this, and that's what kind of makes this fun, because there's this really, to me, they're at a young, an early start in whatever renaissance this might actually be. They're at an early stage in it, and now they're going to determine collectively how fast they get to where they want to go.
It's like, with a young team, the way this season is, it's almost like they're getting a bonus season, because like this is
kind
almost
of,
it's almost
yeah.
like year three for Ayton
kind
and
of.
Year two for Cam Johnson starting right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna have this, and then they're gonna have another off season and another. It's almost like a bonus time.
And I've talked a lot about Devin Booker and Cam Johnson and the like, but as Vinny pointed out, I think Ricky Rubio just He looks really good right now. He just looks fresh. He looks into it. He looks vibrant. He looks healthy. He looks like a really quality point guard.
It looks like he's not having to be in the Olympics right now.
Right. Yeah.
Which he would have been.
Yeah. And I think that's you can't discount what that must mean for a player like him who just never stops.
Mm-hmm. How is Cam Johnson's presence in the starting lineup adding a new dynamic for the Suns? Kellen Olson has an in-depth piece on that very subject. You can check it out right now on ArizonaSports.com. Joey Bosa, Los Angeles Chargers defensive end. Rich man just signed the biggest defensive contract ever in the history of the NFL, over $135 million. But he had an interesting thought on the upcoming season, and it kind of has ties into baseball, coronavirus, all of these things. And Joey Bosa said yesterday on dealing with the COVID epidemic during the season, or pandemic, quote, "The most responsible team is going to be the one who wins." I think there are elements of truth in that, but I can't throw a blanket over that and say that's the case. Because I can't see, you know, the Miami Dolphins being the most, you know, let's say they're the most responsible team during the season.
Well,
I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think he's being that black and white
about
it.
That literal.
Yeah, I don't think he's being that literal. I don't think he's saying that you can be a terrible team and be responsible and suddenly win everything. I just think what he's saying is among the teams that have the talent to win, the teams that are responsible and keep their guys on the field are going to be the ones that prevail. And I think there's some truth in that, because if we've seen anything right now from the bubble versus non-bubble efforts here, the non-bubble, the Major League Baseball model, very tenuous. You look what's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals right now. Who knows where this is going to go? And suddenly you get into a situation as a football team. If that happens to you, then you are hosed. And I think that that's what he's kind of speaking of. And I find that to be fascinating, because there's just an acknowledgement. What I'm seeing happen is the teams that really know they've got a chance at winning something special now. And the two examples I'm going to use right now are the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Justin Turner, in the midst of all of this, came up with sort of a pledge of allegiance for all of his teammates to take their responsibility and accountability to another level, to the point where I was watching Justin Turner run the bases with the mask on last weekend. The New Orleans Saints.
That was just his beard, though, baby.
Yeah, right. That's true. That was a pretty gnarly mask when he got done with that. Then you look at the New Orleans Saints. They basically announced that they're going to move into a hotel. They're going to create their own little bubble if football players want to be part of it. And I would suspect that most of them will. And so I think what he's getting at is that the smart teams in the NFL are going to create their own bubble. They're going to create their own protocol, and they're going to be better at it than anybody else, because they can see in Major League Baseball, if you have a yo-yo, if you have an idiot, if you've got a guy who just isn't thinking about the collective and going to a casino or going to get hot wings, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Then the whole thing can just unravel from there. And I think in the NFL, it's going to be something where the NFL's it's a more violent sport. It's a more visceral sport. It's a more angry sport. If you get a guy who messes with the livelihoods and the families and the professional aspirations of other guys in your locker room, there's going to be hell to pay. It will tear a team apart. I can guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see with the NFL choosing the path they're choosing, how effective they're going to be at actually managing this.
Yeah, but going back to Bosa's quote, and again, I think there's truth and wisdom in it. You're being asked to behave at a certain level of responsibility, even more so than normal, under normal circumstances. And he plays for the L.A. Chargers. And then you get a story out of Los Angeles that last night there was a mansion party in Beverly Hills, Beverly Crest. Gunfire erupts at 12:47 a.m. Two people were seriously wounded. The head of security for the party, Kenny D. Leggett, told CBS News that it was being thrown to celebrate a football player who was recently drafted to an NFL team. He did not name the player or which team he was drafted to. It's August. Teams are in training camp at their respective team sites.
What are
There's
they doing
two teams in L.A.
Right.
So, I mean, on the same day that that Joey Bosa talks about the Chargers, there's a 50% chance this is a Chargers player who's holding this.
That's a great point. And that story of these young guys and girls wanting to have a party, realizing we can't have the parties in the way that we want to in the past. Let's rent a gigantic, beautiful Airbnb, and let's get after it. The fact that police came, have you seen the pictures of that party?
I've seen the picture. I'm looking at a picture. There was 200 people there at 6:30. The mansion itself is amazing. I couldn't imagine owning a mansion like that and then just...
And then renting it out?
And then renting it out. There's just no way.
Right. I know.
And you apparently don't need the income that bad.
No. Right. But that, to me, I think those stories, when you place them against each other, kind of prove each other's point here. And that is that it's going to be very hard for some players in the National Football League and all professional athletes to stay committed to nothing other than your job.
Uh-huh.
Some people just aren't built like that.
Well, that's part of the reason why the idea of a bubble won't work when there's that many people involved, because there will be, you know, so many people that just won't do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, what would the traveling party for one single NFL team after roster cutdowns be in a bubble situation? 53 players.
53 guys.
20 coaches.
20-plus coaches.
20 to 40 other staff members.
Medical
team
people,
doctors.
Right.
You're looking at over 100. So, I mean, that's 32 times 100. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like 10 dozen people.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a joke from last week. Yeah.
You heard it in the montage. At least.
I did hear it during the montage. Felt like I missed out on quite a party.
You did.
Tops had to be called.
In my opinion, the most overblown story, and I'll say this by prefacing it, you know that I am a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers' skill set as a quarterback, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. I'm really tired of the Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay story. It will not go away. Here's more from Aaron Rodgers after the Packers drafted a quarterback.
I don't know, you know, what the future holds. I know I can control this year and my play and my approach and my attitude, and I'm enjoying being back with the guys. It's fun to see them. Different, obviously, circumstances. There's a lot of things that are strange compared to the last 15 years I've been here, but I'm really enjoying being back here with the guys and being back in meetings and workouts and just seeing the energy and the smiles and the laughs. That it really really makes it fun.
Yeah, he did a podcast with Kyle Brandt too, where he went into detail about exactly what he did when he found out that Jordan Love was drafted by the Packers, and I was like, okay, I appreciate you opening up, but you're not the first dude this has ever happened to. You won't be the last.
Yeah.
And the way you described it in that podcast, too, was like, yeah, I called Jordan the next day, and I told him I know what he's going through. I was like, well, he just got drafted. Why are you putting this on him?
Yeah. Why bring him into your drama? No, yeah. Totally. It's clearly there's something about Aaron Rodgers as a member of an organization that wears a little thin. And I can kind of see that happening. There's no doubt he's still a tremendously talented quarterback. And I think people might be sleeping a little bit on where he still ranks. And I'm sure he's very motivated now that in these new rankings of best quarterbacks in the NFL, you got to go down a ways to find Aaron Rodgers. I just think he might be that exhausting kind of teammate who just never is on board with what the coach wants, and as a result is always talking behind the coach's back. And
he's an exhausting type of person.
Yeah, he's a strong-minded, very opinionated kind of person who I think probably a coaching staff those kind of guys run their course because, as I said, if guys like that share their opinions in the locker room, they're very often undoing the work that the coach is trying to do. And coaches like that don't like it, and clearly there's a problem in Green Bay between Aaron Rodgers and that organization. Because he is not being deified the way a legendary quarterback should be in cities at this stage in his career. He hasn't lost his talent.
Especially coming off a 13-win season.
Yeah.
That I can't get past. I'm on Team Rodgers on that one. But, okay, training camp started. You could put the violin away and get on with your business.
All right, coming up
next, get out the wax. Get out your tiny little comb. It's mustache, not a mustache. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com reads, if the Suns had to get rid of one Which one would you pick? Your choices: Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Kelly Oubre Jr. One of them's got to go. That's kind of like an internet... pretty much. But all you have to do is cut one. If you had to get rid of one
what
of them...
What a dark-hearted awesome. Question. Which one you want to lose?
Is it also a painted face question?
I don't know.
Dark heart, no painted
whatever.
Face.
Whatever. You can vote on this one, Benny.
I voted for Kelly Oubre Jr. I like all three of them. 74% of the people that responded responded with Kelly Oubre Jr.
Wow.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Cam Johnson, 19%, 8% for Mikal Bridges. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can find it, vote on it, talk about it amongst your friends, but it's on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
How much did you miss this, Bick?
Oh, a ton, Vinny.
Oh, I know you did.
Well, it's time for America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation. Mustache, not a mustache, and you both have turned away all comers. And this is the first head-to-head matchup in quite a while. You've beaten Sarah, Luke Robbins, Luke Lipinski twice, and mm-hmm. now finally, as you guys were undefeated in each other's absences, the head-to-head matchup that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. I'm not one to toot my own horn, but this is the rematch that the mustache, not a mustache world has been waiting for.
Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to play a soundbite. It could be a clip from a movie. It could be an interview. It could be a song. You have to tell me whether the person singing or talking has a mustache or does not have a mustache. For a bonus point, you can identify the person. First one, the 10 points, or leading after I run out of questions, is the winner. And there's a tiebreaker if there's a tie. All right.
We think there is. But let's get going.
We'll start with Dan.
Enough for the rules.
Dan Bickley will start first. Here we go, a musical one. Kind of tricky to start.
Well, that's the Foo Fighters, and that's Dave Grohl, but the facial hair at this point in time, I'm going to say, wow. I can see a video
really
of
tough.
This song, and I am going to say, not a mustache.
No, he does have a mustache.
Wow,
very
I
would have
guessed the same thing, Bick.
He does. So he doesn't have the full beard like he does now, but he absolutely has a mustache in the video.
That's a horribly unfair question.
It's very...
back to the game.
Yeah, what a ridiculous first question. I'm lodging a protest already.
What? Well, this is...
question in. That is just... how do you differentiate... Well, never mind. It's okay.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Musical question for you, Vinny.
Nectar is asleep, and the combo went back to New York. The jukebox says to take a leap.
Are you mad at us or something?
No, we're stepping it up here. The song is not
heard,
that.
I've never heard that song
either
before in my life.
I've never heard that in my life.
Is so. So signature okay. to this person, but you don't. You have
yeah,
a
but
guess.
Why don't you pick a more recognizable song?
I don't think
then?
I don't think he has any. when I say it, you'll know.
That's your mom, and she's got a mustache.
You guys are such. Why you make it a little difficult?
Well done,
Vinny.
Did I get any points?
Well, 0 points on that.
Well done, Vinny.
That was Tom. That was Tom Waits.
What?
Tom Waits. You know who Tom Waits is?
No, I don't.
Neither have you ever heard of Tom Waits?
I've heard of Tom Waits, but
okay,
he's not at the front of my mind.
Very, very specific voice. All right.
All right.
Well, a little easier.
No.
A little easier. All right.
What was the name of that song, Jerry?
I
don't know.
I don't know. It's your mom.
It's supposed to be challenging here. All right. Dan?
Let's go ahead, Jared.
Here we go, Dan.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
That is Bobby McFerrin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mustache and a beard, if I remember
that
correctly.
That is correct.
Okay.
Bobby McFerrin mustache. Bobby
that even sounded higher pitched than the normal. Was that a different version?
No, that was it. Uh-huh. Bobby McFerrin. All right, you're up, Vinny.
D-backs fall to 3-6 on the season as they drop to this one to the Los Angeles Dodgers today, 11-2. Welcome to Diamond Talk. Our producer engineer is Leo Bill Martin. Our technical directors tonight, Luke Robbins, Mitch Verelda.
That is Mike Farron.
Oh, that's right.
And Mike has a mustache.
That is correct.
You know, what's funny about this is because when they were playing Don't Worry, Be Happy, the first thing that jumped in my mind was Mike Farron, and I almost blurted that out. And then I had to catch myself.
Bobby McFerrin.
Right.
All right. Here we go. Musical question for
right.
you.
It goes like this. The fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
See, this is a tough one.
No,
I told you this is a tough addition.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm going to guess your mother and a mustache.
You know this song.
I know who that is.
I don't
but
know.
I have no idea.
I'm sorry. Right, I don't know.
Well, my mother and was already. I'm not going to play her twice in the same
right.
game. So.
Well, I'm guessing your mother with a mustache.
That is Leonard Cohen and not a mustache.
Okay.
All right. Wow. This is a battle. All right, Vinny.
It's a battle of attrition.
No, it's a debacle is what it is. I'll call it a battle.
All right, Vinny.
This is the tournament of champions, Bick.
Dr. Johnny Fever and I am burning up in here.
We all in critical condition, babies. But you can tell me where it hurts. Because I got the healing prescription here from the big KRP musical medicine cabinet. Now, I am talking about your 50,000-watt intensive care unit, babies.
That is Howard Hessman as Dr. Johnny Fever, and he had a very impressive mustache.
There
great
you
mustache.
Go. Excellent. Yeah. All right, you just took the lead 4-3 in a very tough, tough edition. All right, Dan.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't read it from the same page,
maybe I'm going there.
That would be Robin Thicke, and that would be not a mustache.
No, that is Robin Thicke with a mustache.
Oh, is it?
Robin okay. Thicke with a mustache. All right.
Ripping off Marvin Gaye, who
yeah.
also
had a mustache.
Had a great
right.
mustache.
All right.
And Marvin Gaye actually had talent, too.
Vinny?
I could point out that two parents parenting as parents is what parenting is all about, Maggie. I could point out that with my training and experience with child rearing, it's a very valuable tool in guiding our kids on the path of life.
That is Alan Thicke, not a mustache.
That is.
And this is another flaw
correct.
In this game now. Now it's becoming easier to go second now because Jarrett's amusing himself by linking clues together.
Go
ahead, Jarrett.
It's somewhat
Continue.
True, but it's not entirely true because the second person doesn't always go second, if that
okay.
makes sense. All right.
I've never had pains like this before. Oh, this is the worst one I ever had, son. Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. I'm dying. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey. Oh. Maybe that's Elizabeth.
Well, that is the great Red Fox is Fred Sanford. And I know there's a beard there, but is there a mustache there? That's a good question. I'm going to guess yes, mustache.
That is correct.
Well done, Vic.
Thank you.
All right.
Coyote's on a power play 5 seconds into the game, by the way.
I like this.
All right. This is a compilation of clips. Ready?
Stabler. He was a good cop. Him and Benson were together for 12 years. That's a decade longer than my marriage. Witnesses are like children. They respond to bribes and threats.
That is Ice-T. Mustache.
That is
good one.
Correct. All right, Dan.
Somebody said he's the oldest living rapper. That can't be true.
No, that
is
can't
it?
Be true. All right, Dan.
Listen up, people. Bragging just shows you can shoot off your big mouth. If you're great, people will know it. You don't have to tell them anything. Just like I don't have to tell you. Understand?
Oh my God. I know this voice. Who is this?
Well, the last one was Ice-T.
So Ice Cube. Mustache.
No, that was Mr.
Oh, Mr. T. That's who it was.
But it did get mustache right.
That's who it was.
Unfortunately.
You're out of clues?
No, I have more clues, but there's only one more, and Vinny already has the lead 8-7, so he cannot be caught. So Vinny is the winner today.
Congratulations, Vinny.
And we're way out of time.
I'm glad that version's over. But, Jared, write a couple of extra clues.
No, I have. We really have no time here. We're way late, and we have a guest next.
That's right.
Congratulations.
We
well done playing
mustache.
Not a mustache.
We needed that 3-minute snippet of Monkey Wrench to get the point across.
Yes.
His mustache, not a mustache. Coming up next. You know him from First Take. You'll know him from ESPN Radio starting on August 17th. Max Kellerman will join us next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata. Bick coming to you live from the Auction Community Studios. Television situation rectified, Bick. You're all good.
Figured it out, Vinny.
Nice.
Yeah, I did. I'm real proud of myself, I got to tell you. I didn't know I was capable of actually getting that channel changed. But
well, there
surprise
was
surprise myself sometimes, man.
There was a time in the studio's history where they made it practically impossible to change the stations. So they did simplify it.
Yeah.
From what I remember. It's been a long time since I've been in there. But the Coyotes did squander that first power play. 5 seconds into the game, they got a power play. Got a couple shots on it, but they are still scoreless in the first period from Edmonton. Yotes just had a good scoring chance, too, and Christian Fischer couldn't knock it in.
So if they win this series, who do they play? Do we know or we don't know yet?
Way to put the cart before the horse, Jared.
No, I don't want to give it the eye. I'm just thinking big now. I'm thinking big. I'm thinking Suns playoff matchups. I'm thinking Coyotes playoff matchups.
Let's see. Playoff brackets.
Because they're doing like a round robin thing, right?
With
all the teams that are not.
The top four seeds are doing a round robin.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it'd be impossible to know.
Yeah, because they would reseed after that,
right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever listened to the last edition of Mustache, Not a Mustache, I'm keen on things that are impossible to know. Although you got Alan Thicke. I was impressed by that.
That's easy. I'm a child of the 80s. I knew that show.
Right. And it came right after Robin Thicke.
And, yes, that too. And I looked up that video, the Blurred Lines video.
Which one?
That's stubble.
So what you're saying is it's 8-8. I didn't think he had a mustache either. That's great.
No.
I think you need to give Vinny his last question right now.
No, it's all right.
No, because that's a mustache. Come on. Look at his face close enough. Also, if you look up the Blurred Line videos, make sure you are not on the company.
I'm not at work. I can watch whatever version I want.
That's right, whichever version you want to.
Oh, that was funny.
Yes.
That's, okay, yeah, that's... Yeah, that is a mustache, but
yeah, that's.
But
a,
thank you, Vinny. Well, I appreciate it.
There have been ones in the past where it's been really close, where I left it out purposely, like Pharrell in the Happy video. I didn't know mustache, not a mustache. I could not make the call, so then I could not play it because I am a man of integrity.
You know, I tend to be open-minded about music. At least I think I am. I never understood why that song hit the way it did. Not only was it a blatant ripoff of Marvin Gaye.
You're talking about Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
It's very catchy, though.
It's catchy.
I thought you were going to say Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. Yeah,
you're ridiculous. You're just ridiculous.
Or that very catchy Tom Waits song I played.
Yeah, the one that nobody had ever heard before.
Yeah.
You're the music guy on the show, Bick. Leonard Cohen is like lauded as this musical... deity?
Yeah.
I never got it. I don't get it. Do you?
No, I've never got it. No, I've never gotten it either. You're right. He's like the songwriter extraordinaire. Hallelujah is obviously a iconic song, but
yes.
But the rest of the stuff? Yeah,
the vocal styling is, you know, not either you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
How do you think, just looking at, how do you think the hockey presentation without fans is compared to the other sports?
How is the hockey presentation compared to other sports?
With no fans.
I didn't, honestly.
Because basketball is the best, in my opinion.
Watching the game on Sunday, I didn't really notice no fans. And I think they made the right decision by covering off the seats in the lower lower bowl at the respective arenas with the tarp, the decorated tarp, and the big screens in the background. I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice no fans because, you know, hockey players, maybe it took a little bit of time for them to get adjusted to playoff intensity.
Uh-huh.
But
well, the NBA presentation has been fantastic.
Oh, I agree with that. Now joining us here on the Bickley and Murata show, you know him from First Take, and on August 17th, he makes his return to national radio on ESPN Radio with the Max Kellerman Show. The aforementioned Max Kellerman joins us here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Max, Vince and Dan, thanks for the time. Congratulations on the return to radio, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Are congratulations in order when your work day gets stretched out to that extent?
<That's>
is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, congratulations. Here, do this work. Yeah, I love radio. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of TV people, it feels like to me, like, oh, I could pick up a few extra bucks doing radio, but I'm a radio person at heart. So, you know, I did local shows in New York and L.A. Was asked, actually, hey, concentrate on First Take for a little bit before you do more radio, and that's been done, and now it's like, okay, come on, I got to get back on the air.
Now, Max, you've obviously come a long, long way from your days when you were really hyper-focused on boxing, but I always loved your work in and around the ring. What do you feel about this return of Mike Tyson? Does it intrigue you on some level?
I'd be lying. Almost no matter what they charge, I'm paying it, right?
Yeah.
Like Mike Tyson's sparring Roy Jones right now. Yeah, of course I'm going to watch that. Of course I'm going to watch it. And by the way, you know, it's dangerous. Boxing is dangerous, but Mike Tyson's over 50. Roy is over 50. Roy is a friend of mine. Mike and I have known about each other, like, and of course have spoken through the years. Before we ever spoke, we kind of followed each other from afar. He used to watch me on public access when he lived on Second Avenue. And of course he's Mike Tyson. I was watching him since he was coming up the ranks. And I don't want to see him get hurt, either one. And it's hard to imagine Mike Tyson putting on an exhibition. It's just not the way he fought. You know, Mike's appeal was ding, ding, round one. He's running at you looking to knock you out.
Right.
So yeah, it's dangerous. Yep. I don't feel like I'm saying the most responsible thing by saying, hey, but yeah, of course it's intriguing. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't.
Max Kellerman, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Max Kellerman Show starts on ESPN Radio on August 17th. Locally from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on ESPN 620 a.m. One more boxing question before we move on. Mike Tyson and me and my partner went back and forth when this was rumored and the videos were coming out of Mike in the gym, and he did look explosive, but 53 years old. So you know, my partner was excited about it. I wasn't as excited about it. Do you think this whole return, in a way, is Mike Tyson looking inward and saying, man, I kind of pissed away the end of my career the way I handled it? I just watched the documentary of like a month ago, the Tyson documentary, and he was very honest and forthright in it that he didn't take things very seriously at the end. Do you think that's built into this decision, Max?
Yeah, I think, of course, like Andre Ward is a good friend of mine and a colleague and retired as an undefeated champion, right? Best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And I would ask him, still do, like, you think, you know, is this for real? And he's honest about it. He's like, we're going to see, right? Like, because you can't, if you're talking to a recovering addict, right, and they say, I'm never going to touch this again, you're like, uh-huh, that's not really the way it
yeah.
works. What you can say is you're not going to touch it today.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like, don't get, and so I think with what happens is, like, with Andre, we'll find out, with a lot of these guys, when they start feeling like, I was sure I could do it if I chose, but I just chose not to. When they start feeling like, can I still do it? Then you see if they come back or not. And in Mike's case, I do think there's some feeling that he wasn't totally fulfilled. He didn't leave it all in the ring and wants to do it again. And partly it's because he simply still can. Hmm. You know, not at a world-class level, But for a 50-something-year-old, he can. And if he can get a seniors tour going, then not only can he do what he loves, but he can make some money doing it.
Wouldn't that be something, a seniors tour in boxing? All right, let me ask you, what do you think about the NFL and college football? We've seen a couple of sports operate in a bubble, and it seems like they've got a path to actually do this. Major League Baseball looks like it's hanging on by its fingernails. How do you think the NFL is going to do in this arena?
I think I give the NFL a 0% chance of finishing their season.
Zero.
Come on. Like, what are we, children? Who doesn't understand? A 17-game schedule stretched out over how many months are we talking about? We're talking about almost 5 months? Not factoring in the postseason, maybe more. Are people serious about this? Four-plus months? In a world in which there's a major pandemic and no vaccine, so they're going to complete a football season over 50 guys on each roster, and then double that for support staff in a world where you got to keep socially distanced, and the whole point is to erase the social distance. Like there's no bubble. There's no forget about the. So now there's no fact. There's no look. If the NFL was serious, they would have tried to sell the following to the players. And I asked Marquise Goodwin about this on the air. Would you do the following? Eight-game season. You're going to have to be away from your family for 10 weeks. There'll be a couple different bubbles set up. Let's say two or four in the NFC, and same thing in the AFC in towns close to each other. So there's not airline travel, stuff like that. And then you reconvene, people go see their families, whatever, and you get a week, and then you come back and you play your playoffs, right? Like, if the NFL were at least saying something like that, we're going to do the whole thing in 14 weeks, to crown a Super Bowl champion, we're going to cut the season in half, we're going to have bubbles, sorry guys, if you don't like it, then you don't. Then I would say they probably still couldn't finish the season because of the nature of the sport and the number of people involved. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of a vaccine, maybe they could try. They're not saying anything like that. They're being completely unserious about this, and they're just never going to finish their season. Major League Baseball is probably not either. At least they've started theirs. I don't see how they're going to finish either. The NBA, because they took it much more seriously, because there are far fewer players involved, and because they were already almost done with their regular season, I'm cautiously optimistic that they're going to crown a champion.
Yeah. Max, wish we had more time with you, but we got to run.
Yeah,
we thank you for the
bro.
Time. Best of luck on the new show, August 17th, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN 620 AM, 11 AM to 1 PM. Hopefully we can chat again real soon, Max.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks. Max Kellerman, ESPN, ESPN Radio. He joined us here on Bickley and Murata. The blast is straight ahead. It is Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.